Can I adjust this a little bit? Sorry. I need to move this a little bit, sorry. All right. So we came back to Toronto. We came back to Toronto on June 22nd. But before we came back, actually, what happened was that there was a strike going on with EVA airline. So then my aunt contacted me and said, "Oh, are you okay? Are you going to be good? You know, our missionary status would not allow us to spend too much money on airfare, right?" So then when we purchased our ticket back to Toronto, we actually purchased it so that we would stop over in Taipei and then come back to Toronto. That way it would be a lot cheaper, about $1,000 cheaper than, oh no, sorry, $500 cheaper than if we would go direct. So, you know, because I was going back to Taiwan and because my younger son was like, "Oh yeah, when we go back to Taiwan, can we go drink some bubble tea and stuff?" So we were like, yeah, we're going back to Taiwan, like I told my aunt, right? And they say, "Oh, but EVA is on strike, so are you going to be affected?" And I said, "I don't know, let me check." So I kept browsing the internet, you know, like contacted my friends who were working in EVA. And all the answer I got was like, "Oh, no, you're fine. Your flight is okay. It's not canceled." So then, you know, I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's great." But then just an hour before we board on the bus, heading to the airport, I got an email from EVA. And EVA was like, "Oh, you know, we tried to contact you via phone, but then, you know, we got answer machine. So just to be safe, we decided to email you. You know, your flight might be canceled. So we were thinking, if you wish, we can put you on a direct flight with Air Canada. So that way, you don't have to go through that possibility of cancellation." You know, I was really struggling. And I was thinking, oh, you know, should I take it? Should I not? You know, like all these evidence was showing that it's not canceled. Should I really do it? And I was thinking, you know, like my younger son, Theodore, he really wants to go back to Taiwan for bubble tea. Should I just disappoint him or what? So then I was praying and I didn't know what to do. So I asked my younger son, who was 12 years old at that time. And I think I was really stupid to do that because I'm like 40-something and I was asking a 12-year-old that serious question. But I think my son is wiser than me. He said, "Mommy, what's the main purpose?" I said, "To go home." And he said, "Yeah, there you go. So you focus on getting that done. Don't think about other things. So just take the offer, like go direct." And I said, "But then you're not going to get the bubble tea." You know, like I have to remind him, right? Or else he's going to come back and argue with me and say, "You know, it's all your choice and I didn't get to drink the bubble tea." He said, "Don't worry about bubble tea. It's everywhere. I can go back to Toronto and get grandpa to buy me a cup of bubble tea. That's fine." You know, so we took that offer. We right away sent the email to EVA, and we were placed on the next day flight. Like 2 hours after we did that, our original flight was canceled. Yeah, let us pray. Father God, I just want to pray for your Holy Spirit to fill in us, that we can hear your words, we can understand your will. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so our passage today is really long, and you know that, you heard that. How many of you don't know anything about Lot? Raise your hand. Good, everybody knows it. So Lot, he's the nephew of Abraham, right? And according to the Bible, people call him, in 2 Peter, he was called as a righteous man. So he's actually a righteous man in God's eye. Why? Because if you go back to Genesis chapter 12, you see when God called Abraham, Abraham came out of Haran, and then as Abraham coming out, he took his wife, Sarai, and then he also took his nephew, Lot, with him. So Lot left Haran, left the idol worshiping with Abraham. And that is why, because he give up on the idol worshiping because he came to know God. That is why he's called a righteous man, according to the Bible. So he's a righteous man. However, this righteous man, he was also very weak. He has a lot of weaknesses. For example, in chapter 13 of Genesis, when Lot and Abraham, they become richer, right? Like have more money, more sheep, more, you know, cow, everything. They started, their servants started to fight over with the field, like the land, the resources. So they had to part the way because then, you know, they don't get taken care of, right? So then Abraham said to Lot, saying, oh, you know, why don't you choose? Because we're brothers, like in God we're brothers. So we shouldn't be fighting with each other. Why don't you choose a place? If you choose the east side, then I'll go to the west. So, you know, we both would have enough resources. So Lot was looking and saying, wow, look at that plain of Jordan. Wow, it looks great. It looks rich. It looks plenty of grass, you know, it's good for my animals that I can feed them, you know, it looks great. So Lot decided to choose that plain of Jordan. So Abraham just chose the other side. So as Lot started to move into this plain of Jordan, he said, you know, I'm not a country boy. I live in the cities. I love city living. So he started to live in those cities. And then he saw this place, the big city, it's called Sodom. He said, wow, that city looked beautiful. It looks very beautiful, rich, just like in Japan, you know, like all the tall, like high-rise buildings, all the fancy technologies. Wow, I want to move to that city. So he just keep moving his tent, keep moving closer and closer and closer until he reached that city, Sodom. That's his weaknesses. He makes decisions based on his eye, like whatever he sees in his eye, like by his eye. Just like, you know, like probably little kids would choose to make decision. Oh, you know, if you give him a bubble tea or if you give him school work, they don't see the future benefit of school work, but they see the present benefit of bubble tea. They would choose bubble tea, right? So Lot was basically making his decision based on what he sees good. But remember, it is what he sees good. It's not what God sees good. And God's will is for us to choose his will. So sometimes we're in this kind of situation, for example, like the EVA airline. Like, you know, you have to make decision within 1 hour. You decide. 1 hour is still long, but sometimes you have to make decision in 5 minutes. And God wants us to be able to use that, like just in a blink of the eye, choose his heart, choose his will. And we need to know here, what is God's will? So God's will, number one, is for us to choose his goodness. For us to choose his goodness, but not following the world, not following the lust. You know, Lot moved into Sodom. Probably for 24 years. This is based on my calculation because, you know, I based the calculation on Abraham's age. So I did a backward calculation or whatever thing. So I believe he's probably there for at least over 20 years. And, you know, he was sitting at the city gate, you know, meaning that he's rich. He's probably have some sort of social status so he can be a judge of that city. So people, whenever they have you know, issues they will bring to the city gate. And the elders and whoever has the social status would be able to, you know, determine who is right, who is wrong, right? So he was sitting at the city gate, so meaning that he's having some sort of social status there when the angels came. And so he was like, wow, it's already evening time. Why don't you come to my house and stay? The angels say no to him, you know, like, because at that time, if you're travelers, when you get to a city, when you get to some place, you can either stay at the city square, or if people invite you to their house, you can choose to stay in their house. You know, in the previous chapter, when these angels visited Abraham, and Abraham invited them over to just rest in his tent and, you know, just eat the bread and, you know, fresh up, They were like, oh yeah, sure, of course. But here, Lot invited them, and they were like, no, we're just going to stay at the city square. Nah, we're not going to stay in your house. This is rude, you know, this is really rude. Just like when we're in Japan, you know, when we invite people to a meal or something, even if they don't want to go with you, they will not directly refuse you, reject you. They will not, like, you know how Japanese people would do it, right? They would do, you know, just keep going on. Like, and then you get the sign, you know, like, they don't want to do it, okay? But here, the angels were telling Lot, no, we're going to be staying in the city square. Wow, that's embarrassing. But Lot knew that it is dangerous in that city. So he's like, no, no, come to my house, stay in my house. And finally, these two angels were like, okay, fine, we'll go over to your house. So they had dinner. And even like these people in Sodom, they couldn't even wait until, you know, nighttime or when people are in bed. Think about it. When you do bad things, it's usually, you know, you need that darkness, right? And then, you know, people usually say it's really dangerous at night. And what's happening here is that they couldn't even wait until nighttime. So these people, men, from older men to younger men, the oldest to youngest, they all came and just surrounded Lot's house and say, give me those two people, those newcomers. We want to do something. The original word was, we want to know him. The know means having sex. So they don't care about these two men's will. They just want to rape them. And it is not just one person or two people. It's the entire man of the city. So, you know, and right away, Lot decided, oh no, they shouldn't be doing that. He needs to protect them. He needs to protect them. Okay. But his solution was, okay, I'm going to give you my two daughters, my two virgin daughters. Think about it. If this is the wrong thing, you should be telling them, this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing it, period. Not like, this is wrong. Don't do it. I can give you my two daughters to rape. It's not right. That means Lot is already taking into him the value of that city. The city believed this is okay. Raping is okay. Having sex with anybody is okay. And Lot is already taking on to that. That he thinks that, oh, you know, yeah, maybe homosexuality is not okay, but if you do it to my daughters, that's fine. No, it's not. And God's goodness is absolute. It's not right, it's not right. So God's will is for us to choose his right, his goodness, and not following the world. His second will is for us to rely on him. So you see, Lot tried to resolve this issue by his own ability, by offering his daughters. But that's not God's will. God's will is for him to pray to him and ask for help. These two men are angels. They're messengers from God. Don't you think God is going to know everything, is going to help? But Lot did not turn to him for help. He tried to resolve the issue by himself, and turned out to be these men were saying, go away, or else we'll do worse to you. What can be worse than rape? I don't know. Do you know? I have no idea. You know, when we were in Japan, you know, in the very beginning, we didn't know any Japanese. And I feel we're so brave that we went. We started learning from like the hiragana and katakana. So it's more like phonics system, right? So we started from there. But our classes didn't start until early October. So like for about 3 months period, we were like totally no Japanese at all. But the second week after we landed, we were supposed to be registering the bicycles we purchased. And you know, our field leader told us, because they don't live right beside us, right, and they couldn't come to help. So they said, just go to any bike shop. You can register there. So it was a hot summer day. It was August, the first week of August. Henry was biking to this bike shop right beside the station, the train station. And these people, very unlike regular Japanese people, they just push him out and say, no, no, because Henry was trying to communicate in English, and they didn't understand what he was saying. And they just push him out and say, no, no, no. He got very frustrated, and he came home, and he said, you know, it's not every bike shop you can register, blah, 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 very angry. So we started to use our own way and search on the internet for a place where we can register our bicycles. And we found a place which is about 30 minutes bike ride with uphills, downhills, and uphill, and, you know, like, tough. So, you know, we said, okay, all four of us will bike over. And then after we finish registering our bike, we will go for lunch. Good plan. And we went as a family, but it was a hot summer day. And it was uphills. And we didn't bring any water, we forgot. And we were sweating like crazy, and it's like, oh, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do it? And we finally got to that bike shop. And again, after we communicate it in English, say, no, sorry, we can't. We only register for bikes that we sold. And you didn't buy from us. We cannot register for you. Oh, right away, Henry got fumed up. Like, he was so mad. He was like, God, why are you putting us here? We don't know the language. We don't know anybody that can help me. And kids were, like scared. They were looking at Daddy. They're like, oh, Mommy, Daddy is so mad. And I said, you know what? Let's pray. We can't do anything. This is the end of our ability. We can't do anything. So we, the three of us, we found a corner. We started praying. We proclaimed to God. We said, God, yes, you brought us here. And we trust that you're going to provide help for us. You are our help. We prayed. Simple prayer, like very simple prayer. After that, like, Henry cooled down. He said, let's go home. Let's go home. We'll find other time to register it. And then what happened was that we were actually really hungry, but we didn't dare to ask him for lunch. We were like, oh, yeah, he's still mad. Let's not even go there. So we hop on our bikes, and then we started riding towards our house. But just about 5 minutes bike ride there, I saw a little tiny bike repair shop. And outside there was a poster. And on the poster, there are actually some Chinese characters, which I understand, and I picked up. It says, bicycle. It says, registration. And it says, prevent theft. Yes. So I was saying to Henry, I said, hey, wait. Look at this one. Does it mean we need to register our bike to prevent it being stolen? And he said, yeah, probably. Because we don't understand all these little other characters in between, right? So we're just guessing. So I said, just wait, wait, wait here, wait outside the store. And I went into the store, spoke to the owner, who's like 50-something years old, gentleman. He was still doing the bike repair work. And I just dragged him out of the store, and I pointed to the poster and said, bicycle registration. And he was like, ah, okay, okay, dekiru, dekiru. He said, yeah, we can do it. So he asked me for my receipt for the bike model number and whatever things. And he found that I was too slow, so he started doing all the work for me. After that, he said 500 yen. And I said, oh, I have three more bikes. So he called his wife down. And then his wife started to fill out all the information for us while he read them to her. It was all done. You know, God wants us to turn to him because he wants us to experience his faithfulness. So his will is for us to turn to him and ask for help, Don't think about that problem is so little that you can solve it by yourself. No, that's not His will. His will is for us to turn to Him and experience His faithfulness and grab onto Him. So that's His will number two. And number three, He wants us to choose to believe in Him. You know, Lot, right? Like the angels told him, you know, go tell your sons-in-laws, your daughters, your sons, whoever you have in the city, that God is going to destroy the city. Go tell them to run away, like, because it's going to be destroyed. And Lot went, but his future son-in-laws were like, you must be joking. I mean, how many sons-in-laws are here? Like, before you get married to your wives, when you see your future father-in-law, would you just tell them, you gotta be kidding? Like, no, you gotta be polite, right? You gotta be like, oh yeah, I understand, okay, I'll do it now. But no, not Lot's son-in-laws. They were just, you're joking, man. You liar, we don't trust you. Think about the situation and compare it with Noah's situation. When Noah was trying to tell his neighbors, hey, God is going to, you know, send a flood to destroy us, his neighbors were thinking that, yeah, he's joking. Right? They didn't do anything. But the difference is that Noah continued to trust in God and be faithful to build this ark that God told him to. Whereas Lot, he went home and slept. Because then the next morning, the angel has to wake him up and say, hey, get up, hurry. God is about to do His work. Get up. Even then, Lot was like, oh, really? Really? God's will is really for us to trust Him, to choose Him, to choose Him. If I did not choose God, if I did not, when that flight thing, the EVA thing happened, if I didn't see it as the sign God gave me, saying, you gotta go, you gotta take it, and I just choose to follow my son's will of having the bubble tea, I wouldn't be back here until at least July 22nd. You know, that strike went on. And, you know, it just wouldn't happen. But God wants us to hear that little voice of His and then just trust Him. Trust Him and choose Him. So God told Lot, the angels just grab them and say, run, flee, go to that hill over there. Don't stay here in any cities, like, God is going to destroy them. And now Lot is like, still didn't believe. It's like, oh. You know, if God tells you to run over to that hill, He will give you that strength you need to run over to that hill. And He will wait for you to run over there before He starts His work. But Lot did not believe. He was like, God, you know, like, I have, like, my two daughters are adults now. Like, I'm getting old, just like me now. Like, I'm in pain all over, you know? I don't have the ability to run over to that hill. You know, you see that city over there? It's small. Small doesn't mean that it's sinless, but it's small, you know? Maybe their sin is a little less. Can I just run over to that city instead? You know, it's so small. You probably don't even care about that city. Can I just run over there? By God's grace, God said, okay, fine. I won't destroy it. That's fine. You run. As long as you go there, I will not destroy this city. So, you know, God is full of grace and full of love, kindness. If you can even trust Him that little bit, and you just run, He will not destroy you. He will say, okay, fine. Okay, go. I'll give you that grace. I'll give you that grace. And then the fourth will of God is that He wants you to choose your life. He wants you to choose your life. When God said, run, hurry, run. When you get there, you're saved. Lot ran. Yeah, I'm running. His wife looked back. What happened? Maybe because she heard the noise of God destroying the plane. Maybe she was thinking, oh, what's going to happen to my house? What's going to happen to my money? And she looked back. She became a pillar of salt. You know, if she cannot put down whatever her past is, she's not going to get the life. When we were in Japan, we visited this place. It's called Ishinomaki. And it was attacked by the 311 tsunami, like big time. And we were there. Like we actually went on this second story parking lot where people actually took video shot of when tsunami came, how the city got destroyed. So we asked our missionary friend, we said, you know, how many people died in this area, in just this area? Because we saw the video, like the trucks were like flooded, like it's like, you know, people couldn't run, like it's impossible. And the missionary friend told us, he said, you know, basically whoever followed the warning and went up to the higher ground, they were okay. It was these people, either they stay at home and ignore that warning, or some people, they actually said that, oh, we forgot passport, and we forgot, not passport, but we forgot our wallet or something. They went back home to grab them. They got flooded. Like, when they were still in the car, they were, like, washed away. There are also people, they were thinking, oh, you know, like, elementary school kids, like, usually when there are some disasters, the school will take care of the kids, you know, and just follow whatever things they need to do. But there are some parents that got worried, and then they decided, oh, you know what, like, I worry for my kids, I gotta go pick them up. So on the way, when they went over to pick up their kids, they got washed off. So, you know, probably 150-something people just in that area, like about one square, like, you know, like probably from Brimley, Birchmount to Kennedy, that street, you know, that small area, more than 150 people died because they did not follow that warning. So when God always say, you know, you need to choose your life. What is more important to you? It's not money. If you don't have life, how can you use your money? Right? So don't be like Lot's wife who choose that money, who look back to the past, that sinful life. And think about it. And wanted to grab onto it more than she wanted to grab onto her life. And number five, and the last one, God wants us to choose to follow the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteousness. So by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. So basically what's happening is that Lot, even though he was, you know, living in that city, he was not happy. You know, we live in the city of Japan. We live in Tokyo, actually. And it's fancy, I tell you. It's fancy. But people are not happy there. Almost every week, we heard about things like people jump the track, commit suicide. You know, because Henry and I, the first 2 years, we had to study language, right? Every morning, we have to commute from our station to downtown Tokyo to study language. And, you know, if that morning we get to the station and then found out that the platform is full of people and train is not moving, we know somebody just jumped. They would not put it on newspaper because it impacts too many people. But the thing is, a lot of people, they're not happy in that city. They cannot tell anybody about what they're thinking. And they just decided, you know what, this is hopeless. This is useless, nothing I can do, I'll just jump and terminate my life. Lot was in Sodom for 24 years. I say more than 20 years, right? Like, he was there for all these years. He has his social status. The Holy Spirit was moving him, so he feels sad about what they were doing, all these wicked things that they were doing. But what did Lot do? He didn't do anything. He could have used his social status to teach or to preach about God so people can repent and come back to God. But no, he didn't do anything. So at the end, he had to flee from that city. And at the end, only his life and his two daughters' life were kept. We are here in Toronto. We have the world around us. They're here in Toronto. You don't have to go to Japan. You don't have to go to Mexico. You don't have to go anywhere. You just stay here. And God has already brought this world to you. And he's telling you, don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until Toronto becomes Sodom. Don't wait until God destroys the city and then you're going to become like Lot and regret. Oh, how come I did not use that time when it was still okay to preach out this gospel, to preach to the people about God's love, about God's justice? How come I didn't do all those? And now look at me where I am. You know, in this world, there are more than 40% of people who have not even heard about the gospel once. Not even once. And you have this advantage to have this world around you. So don't let the Holy Spirit work in vain. When the Holy Spirit talks to you and moves your heart to pray for the city, to spread out the gospel to the city, do it. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you because you don't want us to perish. You want us to get the eternal life. But Father, there are just so many people that haven't heard about you. Father, I just pray that when we have to make decisions, we can just follow your will. We can choose your will. We can choose your will that you want us to choose that goodness of you. We can choose your will for us to trust you, to rely on you. And we trust that you want to give us the life, but you also want to give this life to the people who haven't known you yet. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit to speak to each one of us. That when we hear your voice, we don't just do nothing. But we would just get up and share your love with our neighbors, with our classmates, with our coworkers, even with strangers. Father, I pray that you will continue to use this church. Use the brothers and sisters here that they can be the salt and light for you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.